I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hola, ¿qué pasa, campeones? My name is Diego, and it is a pleasure to welcome you guys to this special edition of your weekly La Liga Lowdown podcast. Now, I say special, and it's special for many reasons. To start, because, as you'll probably have noticed, our regular host, David Garrido, at this hours is either nursing a serious hangover or still going strong in the after hours of a wedding party. And keep in mind that we are recording this on a Monday morning. So David, if and when you receive this message, Godspeed, amigo. Godspeed and a safe return. We wish you this from the entire La Liga Lowdown squadra. And of course, special, the second reason that is special is because Fútbol Club Barcelona, mi querido club, my dear club, was proclaimed La Liga champions last night. So because of all those reasons, we decided to host this special podcast between myself and a few of the other La Liga Lowdown members. So I'm incredibly thrilled to be joined by Alex Johnson. What's going on, Alex?
It's all fine over here. Rainy as always in Oviedo.
Rainy as always. Oh, my days. Rainy in Oviedo. And you admit, Ewan McTeer over Madrid, not rainy in Madrid, I imagine. Right, Ewan?
Not rainy and no hangovers in Madrid because there wasn't much celebrating last night. It was completely silent. We have plenty this weekend, a long holiday weekend. There's been loads of partying, but as soon as final whistle went in the VSR, all I could hear was the sound of silence.
Sound of silence, but surely not for long, seeing as there is Champions League football over in the Bernabeu later this week. But yeah, you hit the nail right on the head there, Ewan. Hangovers in Barcelona for sure. I can speak only for myself at the moment. No hangover for me, but that probably has more to do with the fact that I am a family man. And yeah, winning 7 Ligas in 10 years starts kind of getting repetitive, not to say old, but it was a more subdued celebration, that's for sure. But nonetheless, Barça won La Liga last night, deservedly so. As I mentioned, 7 in 10 years. With that as well, the Copa del Rey, 6 in the last 10 years. El octavo doblete, the 8th doblete in the club's history. And I, after, you know, when I switched off the TV last night and I started to reflect a little bit on the season, the fact that this was Valverde's first La Liga, when I started to reflect just how the season started, as you guys will remember, in August after the Supercopa, when everything was dark and gloom and it was on paper, it was going to be an awful season for Barça and one of the greatest seasons for Real Madrid. I just started to think, well, you know, what's been the main factor behind this season? As is it, can we call it La Liga de Messi? Is it Messi's Liga? Is it Valverde's Liga? Is Barça winning this league with, you know, 3 games to spare because of the overconfidence of Real Madrid, who had a very poor start? And me, for me personally, I think it's a mixture, obviously, of several factors. It's, I think Messi has been at an incredible level playing the season, you know, the stars out of the heavens. I think as well Valverde deserves a lot of credit for being, you know, tactically savvy and adapting the system to a 4-4-2, a pragmatic 4-4-2 style that is obviously not the liking of many culés. And for me, a standout as well was Ter Stegen, but we'll talk a little bit more about that. But what about you guys? What do you, Alex, I'll start with you. What do you, where do you give credit to this Barca team for winning this La Liga title? Fairly easy, you could say.
I think, as you say, it's a mix of many things, but one thing that I think is a key is that Valverde and the way he approached the season, because as you say, this might not be the style most Barca fans want to see Barcelona play, but it's the style that they can do the best with the players they have, because they don't anymore really have that main squad that could play that football that Barcelona used to play. So they kind of had to change how they play in order to take over and win in the way that win the league again. And I think that's been a little bit of the problem in the last seasons, to why they haven't really reached that level that's been expected of them. And I think also what people were expected ahead of this season, that would be a difficult season for Barcelona, was mainly because these players couldn't really play that style in the same way. We don't have that core midfield that Barcelona had before that was the foundation of everything they did. So it kind of had to change the way Barcelona plays. And that's what Valverde has done. And I think that a few coaches would actually dare to go to Barcelona and change how Barcelona plays, because it's implanted so deep that Barcelona is supposed to play in a certain way. And this season, they have not been playing that way. And I think that's one of the main reasons to why they've actually gone on to win the Liga and go unbeaten. It's just because they've realized that we have to play in another way. And then obviously also, Lionel Messi has been incredible. I think Messi has been more of a key player for Barcelona in this season than he maybe have ever been before, because before we have had the combination of Messi together with Xavi, with Iniesta, with Busquets and so forth, and they've together created this special thing. And last season we had Messi, Suarez, Neymar. Well, this season it's been mainly Messi who's been behind these kind of things. But that also goes together with how Valverde has made his team play. So I think it's a mix of a lot of things, but it's definitely a huge importance to both Valverde and Messi for this league title.
Good points. What about you, and what would be your titular, your headline for this Barca team winning La Liga?
Yeah, I think it's the same thing. It's got to be Messi's league, and that was even the headline in the market this morning. Your league with a big picture of Messi, and he's got 32 goals and 33 league appearances. I mean, that's just incredible, and that's basically why Barcelona won it. I mean, as much as I would have loved for Paulinho to score the winning goal so that we could label it Paulinho's league, I mean, that would have been great. As much as I'd have loved that, of course it was just that it was a Messi hat-trick that got Barcelona La Liga. They were going to win it at some point anyway, but it was symbolic, I think, that Messi won the game at the VSR to win the league, because he's been on his own at times. I mean, Luis Suarez has had some good months and some not so good months. So it's been so much of a burden placed on Messi to create chances, to finish chances, to do a little bit of everything. And he's delivered. And I think it gets a little bit boring to just praise Messi all the time. But I think Alex touched on it there. I mean, this might be one of his best La Liga seasons ever.
On paper, certainly. I mean, where do you guys feel that, you know, because despite the fact that Barça is winning its eighth doblete, keeping in mind, of course, that this club's history runs 119 years or so deep, still, there's a lot of scrutiny, a lot of criticism being aimed at Valverde in particular. Do you think he's being blamed unfairly for, you know, maybe his style of play? I mean, where do we rank this doblete in terms of achievements when, like I said, only 9 months ago, this was supposed to be a disaster of a season?
But I think it's back to that before, that this is a different Barcelona, and I think a lot of people have a difficult time understanding it. And it's not just a different Barcelona in terms of the squad, in terms of the coach and how they play.
Alex, would you call it a weaker squad as well?
That depends on how you watch it. I think the teams that in the squad that Barcelona had before has been some of the best I think that's ever been. So, so in that sense, yeah, it's weaker, but it's another type of football. And I think where it goes deeper than just the team and just the coach and tactics, because Barcelona has changed a lot as a football club in the last few years, and it's not at all the same club that it was when Guardiola was there, when Laporta was the president, and so on. And it goes down to the youth academy as well and how they change the way they do things. So I think that's where people are still stuck in the mindset of Barcelona being what Barcelona used to be.
Yeah.
But this is a different football club that runs in a different way, do football in a different way.
Yeah.
And in that sense, they're doing really, really good. And to come into a season where no one expects you to have any chance, really, of winning the league title, where there is so much going on in the club, there's so much uncertainty, you have players leaving, complaining about stuff, and then go on to dominate the entire season and go unbeaten. I think that is one of the bigger achievements than when you go to a club that already is in harmony and just win everything.
Mm.
So I definitely think that the Valverde is getting too much blame. And that's mainly because people are still expecting that old Barcelona and his Barcelona is not that team. And a coach like Valverde will never play a team like Barcelona, the old Barcelona fans, or how to say, wants their team to play. So you just have to change your mindset when looking at Barcelona this season, I think. And I think that's the main thing that is quite difficult for people to do.
I would agree. I would certainly agree with you, Alex. Expanding on what Alex just said and changing our mindset, I mean, shouldn't we be talking about the fact that perhaps Valverde actually overachieved with this squad then?
Yeah, I think he did. I mean, I think there's no doubt this is a weaker squad. That's kind of why everybody thought Real Madrid were going to win by 10 points after the Supercopa. I mean, Iniesta is getting older. Luis Suarez isn't what he was a couple of years ago. You don't have Dani Alves, you don't have Xavi. This is nothing compared to Barcelona squads of the past. But Messi, and I think in particular Ter Stegen, and we briefly mentioned him, but I think we need to just praise Ter Stegen, because as much as Messi's been putting the goals in at one end, Ter Stegen has made some crazy saves. I think it's about 80 saves this La Liga season.
Yes.
But some of them are very, very high quality, because a lot of the time he's been last man, and to be fair, Piqué and Umtiti have been a very good central defensive partnership, but whenever they have been broken, Ter Stegen has just been he's just been incredible. And if it wasn't for some guy called Jan Oblak down in Madrid, I think we'd be talking about him as far and away the best goalkeeper in La Liga. But in terms of Barcelona goalkeepers, the performance from that position has gone up in recent years, maybe at the same time as performance in the outfield has gone down a little bit.
You're taking the words out of my mouth there. I fully back that assessment of yours.
You're another Ter Stegen believer.
Ter Stegen, yeah, man. I mean, absolutely.
You need to get a nickname like the Justin Believer. I don't know.
I have a nickname for Ter Saver, but it's in Swedish. It's playing on his name that becomes Tegelsten, which means brick. So he's like, he makes a brick wall. Swedish, but it doesn't really work in English. But
you often have those that work in Swedish, but don't necessarily translate. But yeah, if we were in Sweden, that would be perfect.
So let's add to Sweden.
Let's all move to Sweden. Although, having said that, I'm happy that what you were saying overshadowed. I was saying Ter Saver, but I retract that one immediately. That one is pretty awful. But in terms of Ter Stegen, who else for you, Alex, would be, say, I mean, one of the most telling contributions over the season? We touched on Paulinho earlier, him of course being the third top goal scorer of this team, also arrived with a lot of question marks surrounding his fichaje, his buy for the club. Who besides Ter Stegen was for you and Messi of course is the standout this season?
I think one player that is often forgotten and has always often been forgotten is Sergio Busquets. I think last season he had probably his worst season in the first team of Barcelona. But this season he's come back to the Busquets that we're used to. And I think one of the reasons why we don't speak about him is because we don't see him. And that's like one of the best quotes about defensive midfielders, that if you don't see him, it means that he's doing an excellent job. And I think he's been a key player for Barcelona this season. And we also saw when he was out injured against Sevilla, for instance, that the Barcelona struggled and they only got a 2-2 result. And I think he's a player that is very often is forgotten and the contributions he does. And I think he also been very, very important for Messi and for him being able to reach that level that he's been this season. And then obviously Paulinho, as you mentioned as well, coming in as a player that people make fun of. How Barcelona is acting. Which was a bit unfair to him, but it wasn't really about him. It was more about how much money the club put in him.
And his
age, a player that people didn't know that much about. But I think he's been doing a brilliant season. And especially coming in under those circumstances where everyone is already against you. And break through and do the way he's done, I think it's been really, really impressive.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And what lo que me llama la atención, rings a bell a little bit is when I ask you guys to name a few of the other standouts, let's call them, is that neither of you call on one of the 22 million or 222 million fichajes, and I'm talking of course about Dembélé or Coutinho. How would you guys rate their overall impact? Of course, Dembélé arrived and then was injured and then re-injured himself. And Coutinho didn't come until halfway through the season. So he was kind of in pre-season mode, you could say, in January. And of course, they both needed time to adapt. But still, they arrived with a massive price tag hanging from their heads. And how would you guys sort of evaluate their overall impact this season?
I love that preseason term because it is like a big preseason because Dembele, with his injuries, he didn't really get started until about the same time as Coutinho did. And by January, the league was already kind of won.
Yeah.
Coutinho couldn't play in Champions League. And, well, to be fair, neither could Dembele because Valverde wouldn't pick him. But basically, their only competition was La Liga, which was already won.
Yeah.
So this was like a 6-month preseason where even if they play terribly, Barcelona's probably still going to win the Liga. And if they do well, then great. So it's like, yeah, this has been like, for me, this has been their season minus one. They've not even really started yet. Next season is, in my view, their first proper season for both players because Dembele should have a full season, hopefully.
Yeah.
Touch wood for him. He won't be quite as injured. And Coutinho will be able to play Champions League football and have a full year with Barcelona. So what they've done just now, anything they've done that's good is a bonus, and we'll see how they do next year.
Alex?
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think it's a bit too early to evaluate them and what they've done in Barcelona, because as you both say, it's been a bit of a pre-season, and they haven't really got into it yet, and I think there's also an adaptation period when you come from a foreign league to La Liga, and we have especially seen that in Barcelona before, even with the best players and some of the players who've been best in La Liga, they always need this like 6 months period at least to get into it. So I think just it's too early to say if they've been good or bad at this point.
And another point that, I mean, I heard you bring it up several times now, Ewan, the fact that Barca, and you as well, Alex, the fact that Barca could go this entire season unbeaten. Of course, at this point, they have been, they have gone the entire season unbeaten. They've won the Liga, therefore unbeaten. It's not something that is really talked about or maybe marketed as much here in Spain. That is my personal perception. You being from the UK, of course, the one that really comes to mind is the Arsenal Invincibles, in I think it was 2004, if I'm not mistaken. You know, that tag being put on that team, that they were, you know, branded in such a way that it was a massive achievement. it kind of made me wonder whether people in Spain care about going unbeaten and if it's really considered as big of an achievement as perhaps, you know, Arsenal's achievement back in the early 2000s. What do you think, Ewan?
Well, I think with Arsenal's one, I think back in 2004, nobody really cared about or thought that a team could go unbeaten either. The Arsenal thing has only grown in legend after the fact. So I think if Barcelona do it this year, then in the future, going unbeaten will start to be talked about in Spain. Even in Scotland last year, Celtic went unbeaten, but before nobody won a league unbeaten even in Scotland.
Interesting.
So nobody really talked about it. No one really considered it a thing, whereas now this season, the talk has been, can Celtic do it again? So once a team does it once, I think maybe that opens eyes to a country that, okay, it is possible. And I think Barcelona's achievement this year, if they do go unbeaten, will only grow in legend with the passing of time. I mean, in 20 years, I bet there's not another team goes unbeaten for a full La Liga season. And people go, oh my goodness, can you remember that Barcelona team of 17-18? They went unbeaten. Whereas right now, it maybe doesn't seem so special. In time, I think it will look really, really cool.
Good point. I didn't know that. That's very interesting you point that out. Alex, I want to move on to a topic I know is dear to your heart as well. And before recording, you mentioned that you could talk hours or days on end about the following topic. So,
is this the time to get the tissues out?
Get those tissues out.
Just give me a minute.
It's gonna get emotional, guys. It's gonna get emotional. We need to talk about the elephant in the room, of course. We haven't mentioned his name yet, but it is Andrés Iniesta's officially last season with Barça. He's going to move to, he will move on to China, although the final decision hasn't been made yet. Although I think we can all now also discard kind of the late rumors that came out early or late last week with him linking him to City and saying that Pep was going to try to convince him. He did mention that in Europe he won't play with another camiseta, right, with another shirt. So, but his talking about his press conference itself, of course, it was very emotional. I think for any football lover, Ewan, you have your tissues there. I think even you got emotional. Yeah. You know, he was visibly emocionado. He was holding back the tears, very emotional. The same that we saw him on the bench over against Sevilla in the Copa del Rey final when he got substituted. Phrases like, you know, coming here at the right or the early age of 12 and being separated from your family is very difficult, but it certainly has been worth it. You know, he was saying things like, I feel very proud and at peace with myself, because really the only objective of mine was to triumph at this club. And after, what was it, 32 titles, winning 32 titles, to say that he has been successful at the club, I think is an understatement. What did you guys, I mean, what kind of legacy does Iniesta leave? If you guys could give me a kind of a titular, I know Alex, you said you could talk days on end about this, but what is your big takeaway when it comes to Iniesta and you know, his legacy at Barça?
I think first off, he's probably one of the best football players that's ever played the game and that we will ever see, especially the midfielders. But which makes the next part even more incredible, and it's the fact that he as a person is even better than a footballer. And I think the biggest legacy that would come from Andrés Iniesta, more than just his football, is the way he's been as a football player. I've interviewed quite a few Spanish footballers and especially midfielders, and they all always tend to come to the topic without you even asking them about it, where they start speaking about Andrés Iniesta and how important he's been for their career and looking up to him. Yes, both as a player, but also as how he is as a professional football player. And I think that's probably the biggest legacy he's going to leave and already have left for next generations of footballers, but especially Spanish footballers, in how to act as a professional player and how to be and to be normal, so to speak, which is the abnormal thing to be as a professional footballer. And for me, I think that is the biggest thing that Andrés Iniesta has left, because that makes him so different from all other players, even though he's very different as a footballer as well, and he's one of the best that we will ever see, is the fact how he is as a person and how he treats his opponents and how he's loved by everyone. I don't think there's any, I can't come up with any football player that's been as loved by everyone, fans from every single team, as Andrés Iniesta. It's just, you can't dislike this guy, even if you're a Madrid supporter or an Espanyol supporter. You will love Andrés Iniesta.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And I think that says a lot about him as a player, but also as a person. And I think that's what makes him so special and the biggest legacy that he will leave.
I would agree. That's beautifully put, and I think so. I mean, you only had to see last night the fact that despite realizing that they were going down to Segunda División, the entire stadium of Riazor standing up and giving Andrés Iniesta standing ovation, that in itself says a lot. I mean, their minds would probably be somewhere else. And thinking of already mentally preparing themselves on a very tough year next year, yet they still found it themselves to give Andrés Iniesta, of course, much deserved standing ovation. I thought that was very fitting and just a gesture of everything that Iniesta embodies, and also the legacy that he leaves and what he, I mean, the kind of say values that he also is able to communicate to other people. Very well put. And Ewan, I mean, judging on how well he's been playing, not only this season, in my opinion, better this season even than under Luis Enrique in his final season, is he making the right decision right now to leave? He still has so much football to give. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, his performance level has been great this year. I mean, we didn't really mention him before, but He's not what he was a few years ago, but he's still been playing some really great football, making some just incredible performances to control games. So I think he still has the right level. But what I found interesting from his press conference was he said he wanted to bow out before he lost too much, and he said in both a physical and a mental sense. And I thought that was quite interesting because at the age of 33, I mean, he can surely still perform to a pretty high level in a physical sense. But we don't know about a mental sense. I mean, he's been there for so long. He's been there for two decades. He's the kind of guy who's a player who puts so much brain power into what he does. And it's quite interesting. I mean, if you read his sort of biography, his autobiography, I don't know what to call it, the one, the artist, where he sort of, it's not really him saying the whole book, but what he talks about in that book is his poor form before the 2010 World Cup was mostly a mental thing, a confidence thing. And that was also partly the reason he kept getting injured.
Yeah.
So I think with Iniesta, I think for him, having the mental, the optimal mental state is a big part of how he plays.
Yeah.
And losing a pace, or losing a step of pace or two, or maybe not being quite as fit, that's one thing. But if he can't perform mentally, then I think he maybe realizes the end or the drop off in performance is maybe a bit closer than we think. And I mean, so many people write things saying, "Yes, you can't go. You're still so good. You still be great at another 2 years at this level." And I think we have to give the guy credit and say, "Do you know what? The guy who knows the most about how much Iniesta has left in the tank is probably Iniesta. So if he thinks it's time to, you know, leave before a decline, then you know, let him leave, and he'll go out on a high with a double, and it's completely fitting." And yeah, just to sum up what Alex said, I mean, not just a world-class player, but a world-class person as well. And yeah, just one of the best.
Yeah.
If I can just go on from what Ian took up with his book,
for sure.
I think that is a book that anyone who's interested in football, or any who's a football player, or just wants to understand these professionals should read. Because it's a very interesting book. And it's also one of those things that I love with Iniesta, is that how honest he is and how open he is. Which is very different from many players, I think, as well. And because in this book, even as you say, it's not just basically him who's speaking. He gets a lot of different people to speak about him as well. But what he reveals in this book is basically that ahead of the 2010 World Cup, that he went through a depression, more or less, even if he doesn't use that word.
Yeah.
And I think that if you go back to the mental state, that's... it's a bit of a taboo subject to speak about in sports and about athletes. It's a psychological thing, which is incredible, which is really, really important. And reading his book, I think you get to understand that even more. And he also says at some point that he got angry at himself because he wasn't feeling well, but he couldn't understand why he wasn't feeling well, because he was on the top of the world. He was at Barcelona. He had just won the Champions League.
Yeah.
He was one of the best players in the world. He had everything. And then goes around and just can't like understand why he's feeling bad every day, which also led to all the injuries. But I think those things is also something that he leaves behind in his legacy that is very, very important for sports. It's just that a player at that level can go out and speak about those things and tell, but it's just, it can be really, really difficult and mental. And I think that it's very, very important for me to understand that it's not those paths and stuff like that. So I think that's also a very
good
thing.
Yeah, good point. I didn't read the book you guys were talking about. What's the title of the book?
English. It's Andrés Iniesta, Artist.
Okay.
I don't remember what it's in Spanish.
Yeah, I think it's in as well in Spanish.
Okay.
But yeah, just last year. But yeah, really interesting read about, not him, but about being a footballer at Barcelona. And yeah, I mean,
quite interesting and it's also quite interesting about the other people in it. Like, for instance, Victor Valdes and other players. And because they also give away more than I think they've given away before about their own states of mind. And there's also a good chapter about Boyan and Iniesta, who had a very interesting connection there in 2009, going through mental problems, both of them, and how they dealt with it with each other.
Interesting.
So I think it's worth a read for anyone.
Yeah, I'm certainly going to check that out. For anybody listening, and what I wanted to bring up, for those who didn't read the book and maybe want to have instant access to kind of the mental state that both Ian and Alex were referring to of Andrés Iniesta just prior to the 2010 World Cup. And you guys will know this, the Informe Robinson, which is, I mean, it is Spanish, but it might be out there on YouTube with English subtitles. But there's a great Informe Robinson, just to give a quick breakdown on what it is. It's a great show on a Spanish TV channel here where they give weekly sport reports, kind of mini documentaries, a little bit like the 30 for 30 of ESPN. And I think this one in particular was called Campeones del Mundo, so World Cup Champions. And that one, I don't know if you guys saw that, but that one as well, when it starts straight away with the as you guys say, quote unquote, depression that Iniesta was suffering at the time before or leading into the World Cup. So much so because of his injuries, so much so that he was even thinking, he was contemplating of not going to the World Cup. So, you know, imagine that if he had decided to pull the trigger, pull the plug, mejor dicho, and decide not to go to the World Cup because of his injuries and because of his mental state at the time, which was on a massive down.
Yeah, it would have been a very different World Cup, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I think if you would end up reading the book, you will understand even more how much that goal in the World Cup final meant for him, because he was going through difficult times during the World Cup as well. He had injuries there as well. And I think it was a few matches before the final where he realized that that problems, injury problems were gone.
Mm.
And then he became another Iniesta, and then with that goal, he says that when he scored that goal, it was like he was coming out of the darkness.
Yeah.
So it becomes much more than just a football goal, and much more than just a World Cup winning goal, because it became a psychological, very important goal for him.
And have you ever seen a World Cup winning goal where the guy just scores the most important goal of his career, of maybe his country's football history,
yeah,
and the first thing he does dedicated to his friend, like Danny Harkey. I can't think of any other World Cup winning goal where someone has pulled off a tribute like that. I mean, that's maybe what makes him special. And yeah, basically, I think that's a good way to sort of sum up what we're talking about. Is he's the kind of player who has the talent to score a World Cup winning goal, but who also has the good character and human spirit to make it about more than just football. And yeah, that's Iniesta.
Joder, tío. Ewan, me estás dando piel de gallina, tío, de verdad. You're giving me... Pass me a tissue. Please.
I think before we leave the topic of Iniesta, I also want to take an anecdote that a bit more on a fun note than on this emotional path we've been on. And it's also from his book, which is great. It's from a chapter where Victor Valdes tells his stories of Iniesta. And he says that when they won the league title against Levante, which was the first league title that both Iniesta and Valdes won with Barcelona, they were on the bus. And Victor asks Iniesta, what do you want to win now, you and I?
Mm-hmm.
What do we want to win? How many titles do we want, Andres? And Andres answers, I want 6 league titles and 3 European Cups. 6 because Guardiola, who he was a big fan of, had won 6 titles, and 3 European trophies to match Madrid since 1998.
Mm.
And when Victor Valdes left Barcelona, because this was how many titles they were going to win together, so when Victor Valdes left Barcelona, they had won 6 league titles and 3 European Cups.
Wow.
And then now, yes, that has obviously gone beyond that and won 9 titles, 4 European Cups. And Valdes says here as well that Andres, by contrast, has gone well beyond the original promise when we set the target. It was almost unthinkable. When you look back at it now, I get goosebumps. And that's pretty interesting, I think, as well. It's when they won that first league title, Barcelona were coming from a very difficult path. So I think imagining that he would actually win 6 league titles and 3 European Cups were... That was just like an unthinkable goal they put up, and then he ends up winning 9 league titles and 4 European Cups, and I think that's quite an incredible anecdote.
Incredible. Great anecdote, and like you said, and nice to end it on an upbeat anecdote for that. And I'm looking at the clock, it's just hit 35 minutes, so... I do want to talk about quickly some other talking points, because a lot's been happening, of course, in and around La Liga. So maybe we can just do a little bit of a fire round to finish this special edition of the La Liga Lowdowns podcast. We tribute, of course, the Barça's champions and Andrés Iniesta. But I want to talk about what's going on over in Sevilla. I want to bring up this point because it's algo que... A mí me llama la atención, as I mentioned earlier, something that really sparked my attention, particularly because Sevilla yesterday announced their new mister, the new head coach in Caparrós, when not long ago they said that they were going to stick with Montella. And of course, Sevilla on Saturday defeated Levante 3-1. Oscar Arraiz has also left, so... I guess my question to you guys is, what's going on over at Sevilla? I mean, they've showed that they when it comes to, say, their people skills, they're not maybe the best. We spoke quickly off air about how they let go of Berizzo when he came back from was it a colon cancer, a testicular cancer, and he came back and they basically said, well, we're happy you made a recovery, but that's the end of the line for you, my friend, and good luck to you. And now they're doing the same or similar with Montella. So I guess Ewan, if you want to take this, what is going on over in Sevilla, or Alex, either of you?
One word, Diego, and it's karma. It's karma. You mentioned it there, the cancer thing. I mean, when they sacked him, he still had cancer.
Right.
And it was 3 days before Christmas. So this is footballing karma that's going on. If we get into it and work out what's actually going on, I think this is maybe a bit of the after effects of Monchi going away. And did you know, right? Here's a stat. Of Sevilla's top 11 most used players this season, only two of them are new signings from this year, and those two players are Ever Banega and Jesus Navas, former players. So the guys they brought in, Luis Muriel, Sebastian Garcia, Sandro Ramirez, Rocky Mesa, they've all been so disappointing, they've hardly been trusted to play. Right. And I think that's why the sporting director, Oscar Arias, has had to go. Partly that, partly two coaching appointments which haven't really worked out. And it's just, it's a big mess. I don't know, Alex, what do you make of it? I think this is karma, but there's maybe more to it than that.
I think it's really surprising because, yeah, sure, Monchi left, but what we have to remember is that he was just one guy in a very big, big working environment. And I think where Oscar Arias actually was a really, really key figure, he was Monchi's right-hand man. Mm. So it felt like they were doing like the best thing they possibly could when they put him in. Instead of his place, and it's kept like pretty much the same people. I think there was like three or two people that left, but Monchi basically said he didn't want to bring anyone to Roma because he wanted Sevilla to continue working the way they were.
Yeah.
So for me, it's been really, really surprising the way it's gone, and also the thing we're on with how they have been handling these situations is also quite strange because in the last couple of years, Sevilla has been praised because of how well they treat their players, their staff. And players have come out and said that they've never been at a club before where they've been taken care of as persons in the way they have at Sevilla, which has also been like the key factor to why these players who other clubs haven't performed have come to Sevilla and performed because they've come to the lengths to care about more than the footballer, but also the person. And therefore, for me, everything that's happening in Sevilla this season is such a big surprise.
Mm.
It felt like sure, Monchi was leaving, and he was a key figure, and he was super important.
Arias leaving will be a huge blow, and we'll see how Sevilla will cope with the loss of their sporting director. In terms of Alex, you being up north, I need to ask you just quickly about, of course, Deportivo being relegated. It's something that we saw coming throughout the season. It's always tough to say that they are deserved, to go down to Segunda, because for any fan base, it's a very tough blow. But where does it? Why hasn't it worked? I mean, it hasn't worked with Seedorf. Did they make the changes too late? What in your opinion has been going on with Deportivo?
As always, I think it's a mixture of a lot of things. But I think they did do changes way too late. But if we look at Depor overall this season, I think it's been a lot of lack of mentality from the players. There's just not until these last couple of games, there has basically not been any will, any fighting spirit from the team whatsoever. It's a team that let in the most goals in La Liga, I think so, which is an insane number of goals, and there's just been no defense. There's been nothing working, and I think it's been a team that's lacked team morale overall. So it's like if you're a team like Depor that maybe not have the same resources as Barcelona or Real Madrid, that haven't the same type of squad players, you really need to have a tight group, and they haven't had that at all. And you just see them every match, they just drop it, and there's no fighting spirit and no will. And I think that's, if we're going to find out something, I think that would be the main thing. And then also their horrible defense. And they have incredible attackers, but they haven't done anything really this season. I thought this would be an interesting season with Deport to see Lucas Perez and Antoni Florin together, but there just hasn't really been anything.
Are they going to be broken up, you think?
Yeah, I think so. These are players that I think are really too good to play in Segunda, especially those two I just mentioned.
So
I think there's going to be a lot of players that will leave Deport because they are too good for that level, simply.
I agree. Moving over to the nation's capital, Ewan. Of course, a lot of rotations for Madrid over the weekend in their win over Leganés. Keeping an eye, of course, on the important Champions League clash. Gareth Bale on the scoring sheet. Is there any light on his future? There's been a lot of talk about it. Are they going to cash in on him over the summer? What do you think?
Yeah, he was even asked about that last week when he was in Munich, and he said he wouldn't rule out joining James at Bayern Munich, which I thought was interesting because of all the potential landing spots we hear for Bale, it's usually Tottenham and Manchester United. Never heard Bayern Munich before, but I don't know, maybe that's just because of where he was asked the question. I think with Bale, it's going to depend on who Real Madrid can actually bring in. I mean, if they can't get Neymar till the next summer, then why not keep him another year? But yeah, good for him. Another goal. I think that's 15 now this year, which is pretty good. A very rotated Real Madrid team. Leganés played quite well against them and created a lot of good chances. But Real Madrid got the job done. It was a very similar job for Atletico Madrid. Again, lots of players rested. Griezmann and Saúl didn't even go with the squad. Jan Oblak didn't go either. He had a very slight injury niggle. And yeah, they're rotating ahead of the Arsenal game. And yeah, so very narrow wins for the two big Madrid teams. But, you know, that's perfect for them. They get another 3 points in La Liga and they should be extra fresh for the matches which really matter to their seasons, which is the Champions League and the Europa League. And yeah, we'll see how they do on Tuesday and Thursday.
We'll see. You mentioned the Europa League there, and on that note, I quickly want to get your final takes as well on what is still the debate now that the three teams that have been, you know, that are going to be relegated has been decided. The champion, of course, has been decided. Champions League spots have been decided, but the Europa League spots haven't yet. Real Sociedad beating their neighbors, their Basque neighbors in Bilbao over the weekend, 3-1. They could still make it for Europa League, right? We obviously had Getafe Girona as well. That Europa League race is still quite heated. What do you think, Alex, who will make the final European League spots?
Well, I think it's, as you say, it's the battle we have left, and it's quite difficult to say. I do think that Villarreal is going to take one of those spots. And then it's the last one we're speaking of, and it's difficult. It wouldn't surprise me if Sevilla is going to end up taking it anyway.
Oh.
But I think Getafe has really impressed this season, and that will be incredible to see them take it.
Yeah.
And do you know who they have to play, Getafe? They have three games left, one of them against Las Palmas, one of them against Malaga, and one of them against Atletico Madrid at home, potentially before a Europa League final. So in terms of the run-ins, I'm pretty confident if I'm a Getafe fan. Yeah, I mean, three matches left, you get to play two of the already relegated teams.
Yeah, good point.
It's good. Hashtag Heta, Euro Heta, they're back.
Wow. So what is that? Is that Villarreal and Getafe for you, Ewan?
I think it's Getafe. I think, well, they're in seventh spot just now, I think. And I think they have the best run-in of all the teams that are still in with a chance. So over to you, Getafe, to prove me wrong.
I just have to point out one thing on Getafe that I think we have to mention is the fact that once, like last season, they were, when Bordales took over Getafe, they were lost in Segunda. They weren't even in the relegation. They were lost in Segunda when he took over. He won them direct promotion, and now they're up. On the way to Europe, and I think that's just incredible, and it's
incredible.
A feat that's been talked about way too little.
Well, both in Getafe and Girona's case, I would say, but absolutely, well spotted, well pointed out there, Alex. Yeah. Alrighty, guys. Clock marks 47 minutes, so David, I'm going to send this over
to you. We've had 2 minutes of stoppage time, and I think it's time to get into the half angry.
That's it. We gotta bring it home. Guys, this has been really enjoyable. I enjoy talking to you guys, and I hope for the listeners too, for this special edition La Liga Lowdown podcast, the extended version, we can call it. For all of you listening, of course, make sure you check out our YouTube channel as well. Just look for La Liga Lowdown, or just in the browser, put youtube.com/C/ La Liga Lowdown, and check with all of our video content on there as well. This week, of course, we will have all new content coming your way, from, you know, 60-second standoff, partidazo predictions, etc., etc., etc. So subscribe, hit that notifications button so you don't miss out on that. From here, from Barcelona, thank you again. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Ewan. And wish the both of you a wonderful week.
Cheers, Diego. Till next time.
Adios.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.